This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
I feel prompted to quote all the lyrics of the whole song. It's a long song. And you say, why would you decide on this particular day in 2015 to talk about Bob Dylan's song? Because the opening phrase of the book we studied today, out of the book of Titus, Paul says, I am God's servant, period. End of story. You got to serve somebody. Listen to the lyric, and then we'll transition into the text and into the message. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be a heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. You might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage, might have money and drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you've got to serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. You may be a state trooper. You might be a young Turk. You may be the head of some big TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country under another name. But you've got to serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion, or you might live in a dome. You might own guns. You might even own tanks. You might be somebody's landlord, or you might even own banks. But you've got to serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, or you may be somebody's heir. But you've got to serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. Then one more verse. Just tolerate one more verse. You might like to wear cotton. You might like to wear silk. You might like to drink whiskey. You might like to drink milk. You might like to eat caviar. You might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor or on a king-sized bed. But you've got to serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. When you use the term that Paul uses, I'm a servant of the Lord, you think, well, he's talking about being an apostle. He's talking about being a preacher, a missionary. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this room serves somebody. And I don't care where you work. We all serve somebody, and it's either, as Bob Dylan said, in my opinion, we either serve the devil or we serve the Lord ultimately. We make a choice. You know, to serve the world system apart from Christ ultimately is a choice to serve Satan. And I know that sounds, how dare you say that? But to say, I'm a servant of the world system apart from Christ is a capitulation to say, I serve Satan. In my opinion, just me, not you. We're going to read four verses today, and I'm going to share with you five brief things out of the first four verses out of the book of Titus. Titus is a young preacher like Timothy. We've been in 1 and 2 Timothy. Right in between the writing of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to another young minister named Titus. Interestingly enough, ministering on the island of Crete.
Well, this week and next week on Cross Hope, just two messages attached to the last series called Final Words from the Book of Titus. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, underline this next phrase, who does not lie. Who does not lie. promised before the beginning of time. Wow. At his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior to Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. I think I've spent enough time talking about Paul being a servant. And all I want to challenge you with that statement right at the beginning, Paul calling himself as a servant, is make the realization real in your life that you're serving somebody. And what you do, this may shock you to say this, but what you do for a living, it's a prop. It's like your car's a prop. It's like your house, in a sense, is a prop. You say, what do you mean by that? Let me tell you a story to illustrate that. I have a cousin named Hank, lives in Chicago, big guy, 200 pounds, over 6 feet. He's a man's man. He rides the train into Chicago every day for his work. Told us that some time ago he was on the train. He was facing somebody, you know, the seats in the train there in the south side of Chicago face one another. The seats you can face another person. And right across from him, he said, was the meanest looking guy he'd ever seen in his life. Very intimidating. Over 6 feet tall, he was dressed like a biker, he had the bandana, he had a nose ring and then a chain going from his nose ring to his earring on the right ear or left ear, I don't remember which one. He had a pair of miniature handcuffs hanging from the other ear, the bandana, beep boots, he just really looked rough, tattooed. And my cousin, who's, you know, he's not a weak guy at all, said he was intimidated. So sitting there, my cousin Hank opens up his briefcase on his way to work and takes out his New Testament and starts just reading. He didn't say a word to anybody. And he's sitting there reading the New Testament when all of a sudden he hears a voice from across from him saying, so how long have you been a Christian? He said, you talking to me? He said, yeah, I'm talking to you. You're reading the Bible. How long have you been a Christian? Well, you know what happened. They got into a conversation. And here's what he found out. This guy said, all of this is prop. The earring, the nose ring, the earrings, the bandana. I go down to the strip in Chicago, is what a lot of people refer to it, a rough area. And he said, I go down to witness to people. And he said, believe me, I get people's attention when I walk up to them, looking the way I do, and I say, could I talk to you about Jesus Christ? And I get out my New Testament and share with them from the Word of God. And so my cousin Hank asked him, well, what about the bandana? What about the earrings? And he said, it's all prop. It's all props for my real job, which is witnessing for Christ. Boy, it taught Hank a lesson. All I'm saying is that everything we have, everything we own, every car we drive, every house we live in, every item of clothing, in a sense, not in a degradation or a degrading sense, it's just props. Our real ministry is to be a servant of God or a servant of the devil. Decide. Which is it for you? Decide. You got to serve somebody, Dylan said. It's going to either be the devil or it's going to be the Lord, but you've got to serve somebody. And as simplistic as that is, it's true. It's true.
I want you to hear this message as it continues tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. God bless you.
In verse 1, Paul says this, the knowledge of the truth leads to godliness. That's an interesting phrase. Tell me not what you believe, tell me what you really believe, and I'll tell you how you live. Your lifestyle and my lifestyle corresponds usually, not always, but usually to what you really believe. Not what you say you believe, but what you really believe. When a man or woman or young person says, I really believe that Jesus Christ is everything he claims to be, that's a recognition of truth, and it impacts how they live. And there's a godliness that comes out of your belief in the knowledge of the truth. One commentator commenting on this passage says this, doctrine becomes deadly. What you believe becomes deadly when it's divorced from godly living. Truth must produce goodness, or it's not truth. The history of orthodoxy witnesses to this again and again. And he says this, if God is love, then godliness consists in loving other people. Doesn't that make sense? If God is love and I'm to be a godly person, then I'm to be a person of love. If God is grace and mercy, then godliness is living out grace and mercy in my life, in the lives of other people. And then he says this, if godliness is patience and kindness, then godliness is expressed through patience and kindness. I mentioned this recently, that I actually know Christian people who think that it's okay to be rude to strangers. And they justify and say, well, I don't know him. Well, I don't know her. Why? What do I need to worry about how I treat them? I've always wondered, where do people get that out of the Bible, that it's okay for me to be rude to strangers because I don't know them? We're to demonstrate patience and kindness because we're godly people. We believe in the truth. And truth, the knowledge of the truth, leads to godliness. And then not only that, verse 2 says, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Tuesday I'll be doing a funeral. Friday I did a funeral for Matt Rieger's mother. Matt was here in the second service. She was 74 years old. And what I told people at that funeral, I'll tell people at this funeral on Tuesday, the only hope that I know of that we have in death is in Christ. You think I tell people at a funeral, just buck up and it'll get better? Just cheer up, things will get better, and this grief will wane, don't worry about it. I talk to people about hope, because that's what gives people the desire to keep on living when you lose a loved one, is the hope of eternal life. Your only hope of seeing a child you've lost is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Your only hope of seeing a parent again that you've lost is the hope of eternal life through Christ. Your only hope of seeing a husband or wife you lost, a brother or sister, it's all connected to Christ. That's where the hope is. And that's why at every funeral I say the same thing, the same statement. We do two things at a funeral. We thank God for the person's life. It's logical. Every day is a gift. But the second thing we do at a funeral is we commit everything we know and love and remember about that person to everything we know and love about the Lord. Why? Because intellectually, I don't know of anything better to do than to say, Lord, we thank you for their life, and now we commit everything we know and love and remember about this person to everything we know and love about the Lord.
Well, this week and next week on Cross Hope, two messages that we're attaching to the last series from 2 Timothy, two messages out of the book of Titus that was written in between the writing of 1 and 2 Timothy. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any other on Cross Hope.
I want to talk about verse 3 because this really could be speaking to somebody here today. I really believe that. I know that sounds dramatic when I make statements like that, but I'm naive enough to believe it. Verse 3 says, and at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. Paul says appointed season. Jesus, according to Galatians, came just at the right time. In fact, the King James phrases it this way, in the fullness of time. We don't use language like that. But God has an appointed season for a lot of things. Let me tell you why. Some of you that came to Christ as an adult know that there were times in your life when you couldn't care less about anything spiritual. But something happened. Maybe there was a death in the family. Maybe there was a traumatic loss in your life. And all of a sudden, you began to think about spiritual things. May I suggest what it could have been? Appointed season. And I don't know who it is today, but there's a man here today. It's an appointed season today, 2015, that you get serious about your faith in the Lord. Appointed season. In the fullness of time, just at the right time. In the fullness of time or the appointed season for a woman here today, I don't know who you are, but God may be prompting you to do something spiritual, and you know it. And you know what the Lord prompts people to do that people fight more than anything? It's forgive another person. I'm convinced that when you feel prompted to forgive somebody and to go to them and or seek forgiveness, Satan will give you 20 reasons not to do it. They don't deserve it. Would they ever do for you? And Satan will give you reason after reason not to go to someone and say, "Will you forgive me?" Or, "I want to forgive you for something." And in seeking forgiveness, you see, is such a dramatic, dynamic event in people's lives. Get this. Some of you have never heard this before. It takes the power of God to do it. You know, you say, why do preachers talk about forgiving people? Because it's an act of God in the lives of some people. You know, some people on their own strength could never forgive anybody, but they're able to do it because of the empowerment and the enablement and the capacity that's given to them by the Lord himself. The last verse says to Titus, my true son in the faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I mentioned this recently in the 1 Timothy series. Grace and peace are gifts from the Lord. There's not a man in this room that can generate grace. It's not just, you know, being nice. It's an attitude of your spirit. There's not a woman in this room that can generate grace. There's not a person in this room can generate peace. It's a gift of God. The peace of God passes all understanding, the Bible says, and transcends our understanding. We don't even get it. And here's my point. There will never be grace and peace in your marriage, in your home, in your circle of influence until Christ is there. Doesn't it make sense that if Jesus is the source of grace and peace, that we'll never have grace or peace in our marriage until the Lord is there? You'll never have grace and peace in a relationship until the Lord is in that relationship. And that's why there's the capacity to reconcile, the capacity to forgive, because it's something given by the Lord God Almighty. It's his grace and his mercy. Moses had a speech impediment, the Bible says in Exodus, yet he went before Pharaoh. Gideon had a 99% reduction in manpower with his army, yet he defeated the enemy. Judges 7. David defeated Goliath with a small stone, 1 Samuel 17. Why were they able to do that? Grace of God. You know, if there's anything positive going on in your life right now, you probably could trace its roots and origins to the grace of God. Anything positive between you and your husband or you and your wife? Grace of God. Peace of God. Reconciliation with a son or daughter, grace of God. Peace of God. New start with a relationship with somebody at work, grace of God. We never want to give credit to the Lord for the two most important things in your life, grace and peace. And it all comes. It all comes from the Lord. It really does. Some of you remember a movie years ago called The Right Stuff. There was a book by the same title. Tom Wolfe is the author that wrote it. He said there were basically four qualities in astronauts to give them the right stuff. Here's what they were. Bravado. It was a reckless bravery. Bravado. They needed to have bravado to be an astronaut, to have the right stuff. Number two, they needed machismo. They needed masculinity. They needed to be macho. That's where we get the word macho from, machismo. It has to do with your personality, machismo. The third thing was luck. To be an astronaut, you had to have some luck in your life. And then number four, I found this intriguing. You needed to have a star quality. Star quality. And all of those, I think the seven original astronauts fit that bill. They had bravado. They had machismo. They had luck and they had star quality. May I tell you something right now? That has nothing to do with getting into heaven. It has nothing to do with being in a right relationship with the Lord. What you need to be in a right relationship with the Lord is surrender. And say, Lord, I give you my life and I become your servant for this reason. You got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. What's my admonition to end the message today? Choose. Decide. We are either going to serve the Lord or we're not. Every family has to make that decision sooner or later. And you know where it happens? In little acts of obedience at a time and little decisions that are made, moral decisions, you see it. We serve God. The world may be serving the world system. The rest of the people that we know of may be serving things. They may be serving the gods of this age. that we're going to serve the Lord. One of the most interesting verses, and I'll close with this, in all of the Old Testament, is a verse that's either in Isaiah or Jeremiah that describes the Israelites. And here's what it says. What a telling statement. The Israelites worship God while they serve their idols. You catch the irony of that? Israel worshiped God while they served their idols. Yes, we worship God. We honor God. We recognize. And there was only one little detail. We serve our idols. Does that describe our country, the United States of America, at all? We worship God. We claim to be a nation that worships God, acknowledges God, but we serve our idols. We don't have idols necessarily physically in our country. We just practice idolatry. Decide today I'm going to be a servant. Decide today that you're going to have a knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. It actually impacts the way you live. You have a faith, a knowledge that rests on the hope of eternal life. That's what keeps you going. That's what keeps the engine moving in your life and gives you hope, even in death. And you recognize that there's appointed season for the Lord, for his word. And today may be an appointed season for somebody today. And that there is no grace, there is no peace in your marriage, in your family, in your life, without a relationship to the source of grace and peace. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Don't ever forget that.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.